Alright, I wrote this one shorter than the previous one. We'll see if it actually works out. I forgot my slides at home. Thank goodness my sister finally woke up and sent them to me, so you have slides today. But I was ready to preach this message without them, so it's all good to go. So yeah, I asked for a prayer when we do our normal, request for prayer time a few weeks ago. And I still need prayer for spiritual strength. I think this is an interesting time, not just for me, not just for my family, but for a lot of people. A lot of people that I'm, when I'm on social media or I'm at school, a lot of people are going through a mental or emotional struggle of some sort. Paul mentioned a messenger from Satan that was sent to torment him. And he prayed 3 times, which I believe were seasons, for God to release him from that messenger, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And I feel like I'm in one of those places now where I've said to my wife, almost in my whiny voice, like, God, can you just give me a break just for a little bit? So I'm not out of there yet. So keep praying for me, just mentally, emotionally, as God transitions me into the next stage that he has me going into. So I've been struggling, and I feel a little bit embarrassed saying it, because as a minister and someone who's been serving God and someone who knows the truth, sometimes it's difficult for me to wrap my mind around struggling. It's difficult when you're struggling up here and you have this tool here. It's difficult. And so I'm a little embarrassed, but then God reminded me is that no matter how far along you get in your journey, that you haven't arrived and you will continue to struggle. And because he makes us, he perfects us through that. So he also reminded me over the course of days and weeks, especially like very recently, as it's just been hard, that the battle isn't just mental. It's not just physical, but more importantly, it's spiritual. The battle's a spiritual battle. And sometimes we forget. As Christians, we say that we believe in the spirit world, but I think that we are so disconnected from the spirit world that we don't tend to focus on it as much, because you can't touch it, you can't feel it, you can't see it. But actually, the spirit world is more real than the physical world that we can see and touch. In fact, the Bible talks about the things on earth being a shadow of what's real and what's actually happening. And so, pretty sure a lot of you have read this, but God reminded me, he was like, everything you're going through, Andre, is a purpose. And James 1:2-4 says, my brethren, count it all joy. I'm trying. When you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. All I can think of right now is God, let up on me. I mean, honestly, that's where I am right now. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if we be honest with ourselves, and maybe I'm the only one that's, experiencing the trouble, but it's hard to count it all joy. I haven't been able to count it all joy in this season. So this message is for me. My sister came home late at night and she kind of commented. She said, Andre, are you still working on your sermon? It was like 11 o'clock. I'm like, yeah, I'm finishing it up. But it has to get in me first before I can bring it to you. And so it's really getting into me. And so, anyone else experiencing maybe a little bit? If you aren't now, then you will soon. So this would be hopefully some encouragement for you. I told the Lord that I was going to come in here and I was just going to be as real as possible. And hopefully through my struggle and through my just the wisdom that he's given me, that you're blessed through it. So God has given us some spiritual weapons to fight with, because for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. I want you to walk out of here realizing that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It looks like You know, if that person that's getting on your nerves, it looks like it's the person that's driving slow and you're late for work. It looks like, you know, this person that you keep on having these skirmishes, these mental and emotional and verbal skirmishes with, it looks like them. But Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. I want you to think about spiritual war. Heavenly hosts. It's not people. It's a spiritual battle. Now, of course, you do have, you know, internal struggles, and you do have struggles with people in the world, but primarily it is a spiritual war, and Satan is out here literally like a lion seeking whom he may devour. So I want you to take whatever you're going through, because this is what God is working on me right now. He's like, Andre, take what you're struggling, realize that it is a spiritual struggle that's happening. And there's a specific way that I want you to handle this struggle. And up until probably this week, that wasn't the focus of my mind. I was praying. I was reading the key text that I'm about to go to now. I was reading it, and I was renewing my mind in it, but I haven't been fighting like he revealed to me today. So I want to talk about some spiritual weapons today. Okay? This is the verse that God always brings to my mind. This is going to be our key text for today. All right, we're going to be in, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn, I'm actually, the New King James Version is on the screen. That's what I'm using. It's my weapon of choice for today. New King James Version. But we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses really 1 through 5, but right here you see 3 through 5. And so that's going to be our key text. I'm going to be kind of like all over a little bit today, which is why I wanted to have slides so you can kind of take good notes. Because he really had me kind of, you know, everywhere to really bring this thing home. And I want to pray before we get in here and ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. You know, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray that you would unlock your word, that we would be able to see with our spiritual eyes, hear with our spiritual ears, and Lord, understand with our spiritual minds. God, whatever is standing in the way of us hearing you, experiencing you, seeing you, God, we pray that it would be cast down in the name of Jesus. We pray that your word would be powerful and effective, God. We pray that your will would be done here as it is in heaven. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here's our key text, and he brings this up to me all the time. All the time. I love this text. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Spiritual weapons. Spiritual weapons. I want to provide a little bit of context for this and why Paul was saying this, because when you get the backdrop as to why Paul even wrote this, it might trip you out, because it got me, you know. And so, back up to verse 1. Let's look at verse 1 real quick. Okay? Verse 1 says, "Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent and bold toward you." Might be kind of lost a little bit, and if you were reading all the way through 2 Corinthians from chapters 1 to chapter 9, this is a shift in tone right here. He's addressing one specific issue, and he's almost saying it from a perspective of like, hey, me and Timothy were writing you, and he's giving this message to the church at Corinth. But he shifts in chapter 10, and he starts addressing the Corinthian church about two specific groups of people. Right here, he's talking about some false teachers and some naysayers. Anybody ever had some naysayers? Some false teachers. Like, it tripped me out because I'm like, Paul, he wrote over half the New Testament. He had naysayers in the church. Some believers, some false teachers. Some just, you know, planted by Satan. And so he's addressing them now, because Paul would write these letters We don't have all of his letters aren't in Scripture. Some of them are, but not all of them. And so he would write these letters to address issues in the church. And Paul would kind of say some strong words. He was very direct in how he would confront sin and confront false teaching. And then when Paul would come in town, Paul would have on his humble face. So they were expecting a man who displayed all his power, but when Paul came, he would be lowly and humble. So they started talking. They started talking behind Paul's back. These small groups of people said, "Oh, he's whack." I want to show you some of the charges that were brought against Paul. All right, I already read that. These are the charges. Like if you read through some of the different letters, these are the different charges that were brought against Paul. Unholy and improper conduct. Paul, get this, fickle and indecisive. Inconsistent in his message and preaching. Weak and shaky in the faith. Unanointed for the ministry. Walking about deceiving people. Mishandling the word of God. Not saved. Hidden and selfish motives. People say this stuff about preachers today, right? Defrauding, cheating, and stealing from people. A coward, not of Christ, weak appearance, a poor speaker, claiming unauthorized authority, and damaging the church image. And Paul addressed all of these in 1 and 2 Corinthians. He talked about, you know, the truth. And so right here, this is what Paul is addressing. I don't know if any of you can relate to this, and this isn't necessarily a spiritual battle, or is it? Think about what's happening. God has anointed Paul to preach the gospel. He's anointed him to take it to the Gentiles. In the very churches that he's dedicated himself to, there's a faction of people growing in the church, and they're spreading these things about him throughout the region. And so Paul is addressing this now in verse 1. It says, "Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent and bold toward you." He's quoting them what they were saying. Look at this word, meek. He says, "I am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." In our world today, we look at meekness as weakness. But that's not how Christ was towards his enemies. Meekness is enduring injury with patience and without resentment. And, you know, I left this on my computer screen yesterday as I was preparing this message. And it was very blatantly obvious of how far I am from this demonstration. Gentleness. Softness of action. That's a big one. I'm always praying for more gentleness. Leniency from one in authority. This is the spirit in which Paul is coming. And this is going to reveal to us how to fight our spiritual battles. Because think about it. If our enemy isn't actually flesh and blood, but it's in the spiritual realm that's causing all the issues, doesn't this make a little bit more sense? We're going to look at it. We're going to look at it because when we're the opposite of meek, what are we? Angry, bitter, ready to fight. When we're the opposite of gentle, we're harsh. But I love Paul because Paul, I know he was upset. This is what he said. Look at what he says. He says, "Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." Who is it? Who is it from? It's of Christ. The meekness and gentleness is of Christ. You got to pay real careful attention to me today, because what this is going to really get to the heart of some of the issues that you're facing personally. It wasn't a very entertaining message for me, but it was definitely a powerful one. And Christ is going to give us some insight into this thing here. So let's reread the key text again. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." Everybody in this room is a human. We're a person. We fall short of the glory of God. But for though we Even though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Every Christian should be handling conflict different than non-Christians. We should. Mental, emotional conflict, strife with our peers, we should handle it differently. We should handle it differently. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That word carnal means earthly. It means fleshly. And I'm going to give you an example of what I mean by carnal here in a second. It's going to mess you up. They are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Carnal on one hand, mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Casting down arguments. I'm going to get into what strongholds and arguments are in a second. I'm going to give you some examples. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So there's three things that I want you to take today. Three things. It's really six, but three main points from this text. One is that believers are in spiritual warfare, period. Believers are in spiritual warfare. We're not used to fighting in the spirit. It's something that we have to learn how to do. It's something that God has to grow us into. So when I put the carnal weapons on the screen, and you're just like me, and like 90% of that list covers ways that you generally fight, don't feel bad, because that's our default setting. That's where we're carnal creatures. So 3 points: believers are in spiritual warfare. 2, the believer's weapons are not physical, but spiritual. We have spiritual weapons. All right. And the third one is there's a specific method of warfare for believers. So not only do you have spiritual weapons, there's a specific method of warfare. I'm telling you, if you apply this thing, it's going to blow you away. But let's look at this. Believers are in spiritual warfare. We already read Ephesians chapter 6. We see that we don't war against flesh and blood. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I know that you, over the, how many years, marriage? 52 years. I'm not even 52 years old, so I wasn't even a twinkling in the eye yet. You know, my mom might be in that age, maybe. You know, they've been married that long. Well, I appreciate you sharing that, because me too. So I'm not the only one. So she shared it. Thank you so much, God. You're good. You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't him and it wasn't you necessarily. We are fallible. We are in the flesh. We are humans. But there's always a spiritual attack. Satan hates us. That's one of the things. The enemy hates us. His demons hate us. They're always plotting. They're always trying to take our testimony. They're always trying to prevent us from reaching out to somebody else. They're always trying to prevent us from preaching and teaching the word. They're always trying to prevent us from going to the next level. They're always trying to prevent us from God's best. All right, you say, but I'm going to keep you from getting everything that God has for you. We got to see this battle. He uses the television, music, relationship, any and everything, greed, all these types of things, he uses them to drive us away. So let's look at some of the, let's look at what happened with Eve real quick. Because we got to go all the way back. We got to go all the way back, because it still happens to this day. When I reveal it, when it hit me like hard. So I'm in Genesis chapter 3. Verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?'" Anytime the spiritual attack comes upon us, when we first come in contact with it, it's going to question the word and your understanding of the word. He wants you to start rationalizing what God has already told you. He wants you to start rationalizing it. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. God didn't tell them not to touch it. So she was kind of off in her remembrance in terms of what God said. Key, ding, 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 remember that. Sometimes, if we're not really versed in the Scriptures the way that we need to, we can think the Scripture says one thing when it actually says something else. Like, I hear this one all the time. This is a big one. God will never give you more than you can bear. Wrong. Okay, so, no, wrong. Okay, so, I know you've heard that like multiple times, and people say it, but it's incorrect. The Word actually says He will not tempt you beyond what you can bear. And He will always show you a way out of the temptation. That's like the actual context of that text. God gives us stuff we can't bear all the time. If we could bear everything, we wouldn't need Him. You know what I'm saying? And He created us as vessels that need Him. We need Him. There are some things that you cannot handle. I can tell you, this emotional, mental thing that's going on, the way that these thoughts of doubt, these thoughts of just I'm going in the wrong direction, these thoughts of reverting back to old ways and things that I used to do, I know that it's not God. I know that the sin that's dwelling in me is pulling me in that way, but I also know that Satan is trying to prevent me from getting or going or doing something specific that God has for me. So he's getting me to rationalize. I'm like, I'm on vacation. It's kick back and relax time. My wife's like, wait. Wait a minute now. And it's crazy because I'm going to the graduation on Friday. And I'm like, yeah, I can't wait. Friday's my last thing, you know, about to kick back. He's like, now, Andre, remember what God told you. And right away, my brain went directly to the Word. I know the Word now. I went directly to the Word and I started rationalizing what God had instructed me to do and why He had instructed me to do it. And I felt myself talking myself into this. It was crazy. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. I know the Bible tells you not to do it, but you're not going to really die. That's not really good. Satan, whenever he tempts you, always remember this. There is always more at stake than what's right there in front of you. It's always more at stake. He said, oh, for me, I'm gonna share mine. It's only a beer. That's it. I don't drink anymore. But when I used to go in and out of drinking, he would start right there. It's only a brew, man. Drinking a beer ain't nothing wrong with that, man. You don't see him right there, man. You good. Preacher's doing it all the time. This preacher's getting high in Fort Wayne. You just drove to drink a beer. It's always more at stake than just that. He ain't showing you the financial aspect of drinking. He's not showing you the relational turmoil and strife between a husband and a wife and kids when you drink. He's not showing me the possible the chemical reactions in my brain that could cause me to become addicted to the substance again like I used to be. He says, it's only a man, you worked hard all year, man. You deserve it. You've been a good man, a good father. So when the woman saw that the tree, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Look, you already see God's side. I want you to see it all. I want you to experience it all. See, God, he's holding this evil. He was like, what is evil? It piqued her curiosity. I wonder what that would be like. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she started rationalizing. That it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable for making one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband. with her and he ate. Adam could have saved the day, man. I think Adam could have saved the day because it says that sin entered through him, and it just makes me upset. Spiritual. They saw a serpent. They didn't know it was Satan. We see a trial. We don't know what's behind it. We always, as Christians, have to understand that there's something that we see, but then there's something else that we don't see that's warring against us. The believer's weapons are not physical, but spiritual. The second point. Here's the carnal weapons we got to. I want you to read through this list, and I want you to jot down some of the weapons. Find yourself in there, because everybody's in there. These are the weapons that we normally use to fight. Discipline and control. I know we got some discipline and control people in here who think that they can discipline themselves and make and follow every rule in here, and that's going to help you win the spiritual war. It's not. I'm telling you, it's not. It is powerless in the spiritual war. Strength and ability. Strong. Go to the gym, work out, I'm good. It's not going to help me in this spiritual battle that I'm in. Knowledge and intelligence. I love reading a book. Sitting down, give me a book. Nice cool day outside, I'm cool. Just leave me alone. It's great. But it's doing nothing to help me on the spiritual level. It's not helping. Science, technology, ideas, thoughts, beliefs, doctrines. But I thought you said the word was good. It is. It is. We're going to get there. These are all carnal weapons. These are things that we can control, and we love focusing on these things. Satan always, oh, y'all want to go to church? Cool, go ahead and go to church. As long as the church continues coming on Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and reading and listening and throwing their hands up in the air but forgetting the spiritual side, Satan, good. Go to church. I done lost y'all already anyway. Good to go. There's another side to this thing. It's more. It's more, and it's simple. I'm not about to send you out of here with a long list. It's very simple. Hard to do, but simple. These are the weapons we naturally fight with. Me, my intelligence. I love, she'll tell you. I'm logical. You can't out argue me. That's, you know. So a lot of times I don't even argue because I just be like, I'm going to win anyway. But that doesn't help in the spiritual battle. Okay? So there's a specific method of warfare. That's what I want to get into, is a specific method of warfare. And oh my goodness, Jesus is so good. He gives us this specific method of warfare. Once again, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. All right, Andre, so how do we do it? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Okay, so they're not carnal, they're spiritual. Okay, but mighty in God. That whole list, that's a side list. Good, though. God wants you to develop in all of those areas, too. Yes. The carnal weapons, develop them. Develop eloquence. Develop personality. Develop an understanding of the doctrine. Develop discipline and self-control and strength and ability. Build, use science and technology to make the world better. Those are all good things, but they will not help you win the spiritual battle that you're in. Y'all know the battle I'm talking about. The one that only you and God talk about. The one that only that you're afraid to discuss with your spouse. The one that you're afraid to reveal to the church. The one that you're afraid even to talk to God about sometimes, or you having to forget to pray about before you go to bed at night. The one that you self-medicate on. That battle that you've been going through, that thorn in the flesh, none of these work. And you've been trying it, and we're trying to spoon feed the masses that this works, and it's not it. It's not it. This is not what works. This is not what helps us win the battle. This is why so many Christians aren't living victorious in their walk, because they're focusing on this. Satan got us focusing on these things. They're not bad. They're just not it. They're just not it. Man, when I show you what's it, Jesus is good. He's alive. He's powerful. We're talking about his story now. Forget my story. We're talking about his story, because he got a story for us, brother. He got a story for us. There's a specific method of warfare. There's a specific method of warfare. He reveals it to us. And what it does, We pull down strongholds. You don't know what a stronghold is? I'm going to tell you some of mine. For a time, marijuana was a stronghold. Couldn't stop. Wanted to stop. Stronghold. Lying was a stronghold. Alcohol was a serious stronghold for years. Cigarettes was a stronghold. How about this one? Gaining knowledge was a stronghold. I can sit down and read a book all day when I was supposed to be doing something else. And because it's reading a book, it can look like you're doing good. But if God tells you to do something else and you're sitting there reading a book all day, it's sin. Stronghold. Stronghold. But the divine weapon, the divine methods of warfare help us pull down strongholds. I love the pulling down because the pulling down is referencing how God's way and God's word and God's life for you moves up. The word pulling down in other texts, if you're reading the Amplified or the New American Standard Bible, it says destroying or demolishing strongholds. The people at Corinth would have understood what a stronghold was because they had one. They had this huge fortress that if they ever came under attack, that everybody would run into this fortress. And so I can imagine Paul writing about, yep, that too, pull it down. We have divine power to pull down strongholds and cast down arguments. Not just arguments between one another, but the argument that goes on inside of you, the one that says, hey, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm doing it anyway. And then you're doing it, and it's like, why am I doing this? I really don't want to, but I do want to. Like that argument that's going on inside of your mind, self-discipline doesn't work. All you're doing is setting yourself up for failure. You look at yourself in the mirror, and we're in this cycle of winning. We're in this cycle of temptation, sin, guilt. Repent. Temptation, sin, guilt, repent. There's no escape from the cycle using the weapons. But we cast down arguments. These are the methods that we use. Casting down every high thing that exalts itself. The food that Eve saw, she exalted that above her relationship with God. It being pleasing to the sight, And giving her the ability to gain wisdom and knowledge. Like, come on, God, man, I know you want me to have wisdom and knowledge. I know you want me to have a good life. I know you want me to relax and have fun and refresh myself. Anything that exalts itself, you'll catch it, but you have to be in contact with this. Anything that exalts itself and has you say, well, God, I'm going to kind of put you over here for now, and then let's just kind of handle this. Whenever you do that, you're in spiritual warfare. You're engaged in spiritual warfare. Every next time you get in an argument with somebody you care deeply about, pause. I love Saved by the Bell. I don't know if anybody's seen Saved by the Bell, but they used to boop, pause, breathe, and reflect. Like, is this spiritual? What's going on? If it don't make sense to you, you can't wrap your mind around what's going on, it's spiritual. Stop using the carnal weapons. Bringing every thought into captivity. This is the one that I'm telling you, I'm holding on to this thing. I'm holding on to this thing. I'm seeing visions in my mind of the old me, and I'm desiring it. This is just real talk. Boys desiring it. Internally. Seeing myself walking in it. God, like, man, you better tie that thing up and put it in jail somewhere. You got to take those thoughts and tie them up and stop them. Stop going into the fantasy. Stop going into the fantasy. Stop looking at the images. Stop listening to the music that's creating the lifestyle that's apart from what God wants you to do. That's the fight. That's the fight. That's the fight we're supposed to be fighting. And so how do we use them? Jesus gives us, I'm going to wrap this up. Jesus gives us a method. He shows us how to use them. Oh, man, it's so powerful, so simple. And I thought about my mom because she's been telling me this for years. And just like a son does when a mom tells him something, I got it, Mom. Thanks, Mom. Yeah. I hear you. So this is for you and for all of us. How do we use our spiritual weapons? Then Jesus was temptation. Jesus just got baptized. He gives us a demonstration on how to engage in the spiritual war, Craig. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Duh. You know, he was hungry. But I think that's important for us to know. Because when you're in that spot and you're weak, it's easy. He knows when we're weak. Because he sets traps. This is the thing. Satan can't read your mind. Oh, that might help somebody. Satan can't read your mind. The Bible says the only one who knows the mind of man is God and man. Satan can't read your mind. So he'll set a trap right here. And he sees you, though, and you're going and the trap is set. He can't read your mind, though, and you're walking along. He set the trap. What he does is he watches how you respond to the trap. How do you respond to the trap? Do you retreat? Do you go tell everybody about it? Do you pray? Do you read your word? How do you respond to the trap? How do you respond to the trial? That's what Satan watches. And he has a file on each one of us. And he's documenting, oh, I know how Andre's going to respond to this. I know how he's going to respond. So he set these traps along the way. He knows the specific areas that we have weakness in because he's seen us fail over and over again. He's the accuser. He stands before God and points it like, look at them. They don't deserve this. They're sinning. So here he is right here, and he goes to tempt Jesus. You know, his brain got to be, Satan, he got to be confused because he tried to go tempt Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He says to him, now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God. He know who he is. If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Like, who are you talking to? It's Jesus. Now we're getting into how to use the weapons. He answered and said, he is Jesus. He answered and said, it is written. I want you to put it down in there. He answered and said, it is written. There's some key pieces in there. He answered and he said, it was written. I'm going to see if you pick up on it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's from Deuteronomy. Jesus speaking the word to him. He's speaking the word to him. Speaking the word. Like sometimes we miss it. Speaking the word. All right, so you guys got that. Good. All right, so then Jesus was led up by the wrong way. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus can come with the word. Satan can come with the word too on you. Man, it's a big, this huge argument today that Christians were lost and the individuals who were Christians and now they know the true religion, that it's just crazy. Satan is using the word to destroy us. He always attacks the word. Why do you think Satan has attacked? He attacked the word from the very beginning. His first interaction with Eve, he started right here. So anytime someone gets to questioning your faith and they start talking about this, rest assured, he is near. He near, girl. I'm telling you, he near. He near. He done set a trap over there for you, and he waiting to see how you're going to respond. That goes for everybody. Whenever this comes into question, man, I'm telling you, Satan is near. He uses the word. Oh, but I love Jesus' response. Jesus said. Man, I've been preaching and teaching a whole bunch, but when I'm in my own inner struggle, I tend to pray sometime, and then I tend to read. But that speaking the word, it does something. It does something. And I don't have enough time today. I wish we had a Bible study on this thing because it's deep. It's a difference between just reading it and just praying in your closet. And then when the temptation arises, to speak audibly the word. God created the universe by what he what said, by what he spoke. This is how we fight. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. A lot of teaching in all of this, but I can't go there today. Then Jesus said, Andre, will you say? This is what he's saying to me now. This is like direct to me right now. I don't know if it's for you too, but gosh, I need you to start speaking to this thing, Andre. You're not coming out of here until you learn this lesson. You're not graduating spiritually until you learn this lesson. I need you to speak to him. Away with you, Satan, for it is written. He's using the word. Very simple truth. How do we use our spiritual weapons? How do we pull down strongholds? We speak the word. How do we cast down arguments in our own brain, in imaginations in our own brain, and take captive every thought and bring it into the obedience of Jesus Christ? We speak the word. You shall worship the Lord your God only, and him only you shall serve. So when you're under attack, closing out. When you're under attack, this is it. Be mindful of what's at stake. Because if Jesus would have misappropriated his power, no more salvation. I can't get into the theology of it all, but believe me, I'll take you there one day. If he would have succumbed to any one of the temptations that were laid before him, we're not here right now in this church. There's always more at stake than what Satan is showing you. Always. So be mindful of that. Also be mindful that there is a spiritual side, there's a physical side, and there's a mental and emotional side, and there's a war going on in all of those places. And the only way for us to stand on solid ground is here. He gives us the way. But we have to speak. We have to speak the word. Okay? So know how to respond. You respond with the word. This is the big one, knowing how to respond. The only way to know how to respond is to actually be acquainted with the word. You come in contact with Jesus in the word. If you're like, kind of like, man, I think Jesus is real. I mean, I really want to believe that he is real, but like, I don't really have that connection with him like that. This is where you start. Old Testament or New Testament. He will minister to you. He will reveal himself through his word in real circumstances, real time. Real time. Last, obey the word. This is a hard one. Jesus didn't just say the right things. He actually followed through. We miss that sometimes. He didn't just know what to say. He wasn't just mindful of the attack. He knew how to respond with the word. He spoke it, but he also obeyed and walked in it. Look, I'm taking it one day at a time, Fairhaven, where I'm at in my battle. And it's not just substances, man, it's everything. It's like, man, he don't want me to move forward in my ministry. He don't want me to move forward in my business. He doesn't want me to move forward in my parenting. He's trying to prevent me from moving forward and growing. Oh, you're good. You don't need to do more. You're doing fine. You're reaching enough people. They just patted you on your back yesterday. Be mindful of what's at stake. Know how to respond and obey the word. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, God, for your love and your compassion. God, you give us so much. You give us so much, but you make it so simple, God. Teach us what it means to pull down the strongholds in our life. Teach us what it means to cast aside and pull down arguments and imaginations and everything that exalts itself against what you have told us. Teach us, Lord God, how to take captive every thought and make it obedient to you, God. God, a lot of this stuff we don't even want to do, but God, we know that it's best. God, we don't want to miss out. We don't want to miss out on what you have for us. We don't want to miss out on your best, Father. Help us to be like you. Help us to be mindful of what's at stake. Help us to be mindful, Lord God, of, of the Word of God so that we can use it, so that we can speak it, so that we can be an encouragement to others and to ourselves. And God, most importantly, help us to be obedient. Help us to obey what we know, to do what we know, to use it, God, day in and day out. We know that every day has enough trouble on its own, so God, we just pray that you get us through today. Thank you for this opportunity, for sharing. I pray for a blessing upon Fairhaven. As we depart from this place, God, we pray that your Spirit will continue to commune with us, grow us and shape us, dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. We love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.